Great to have you with us here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Larry Mueller here. Going to talk with you about a study that showed that acupuncture is a successful way to treat wrist pain associated with carpal tunnel syndrome. And our guest for that, Colleen Lewis, National Board Certified and State Licensed Acupuncturist with the University of Wisconsin Health. So it's great to have her back, and she'll tell us about that study and answer your questions about acupuncture as we move along today. Maybe you've used acupuncture to treat pain. Love to hear from you. Maybe you're thinking about using it. What questions do you have? Give a call. The number is 1-800-642-1234. Email at ideas@wpr.org. or post on our Facebook page, The Larry Mueller Show. Love to hear from you. And Colleen Lewis, welcome.
Thanks for having me back, Larry.
Ah, it's great to have you back. First, tell us about this carpal tunnel study that was recently published.
This was a study done that, well, it was published in the Brain magazine.
Yeah.
And it talks about using sham acupuncture versus using regular, what I think of as regular acupuncture. And they tried three different groups. One of them they did local to the wrist. The second one they did local to the wrist and on the ankle. And the third was the sham acupuncture, which they are using so-called fake needles. And sometimes they don't even insert the needles. They found varying results. Even the sham acupuncture had some results, but it didn't last and it didn't change the brain the way the other two acupunctures changed the brain. And I think that's the interesting thing about the study is that they think they've discovered that this has an effect on the brain beyond just the local effect to the pain.
Well, that's really interesting. Have you used acupuncture to help a patient with carpal tunnel?
I have helped with carpal tunnel. That's one of the, I wouldn't call it a real common thing we see, but very often people will try acupuncture for that.
Yeah. Were you surprised by anything in the study?
Not necessarily.
Yeah?
Because I think the studies, they're tending to do, as far as I can tell, the studies are pretty much the same. Well, they'll use a sham treatment very similar to the actual acupuncture treatment. With this one, they actually did distal points, but I got the impression that they used the distal points on the ankle, the opposite ankle from the pained wrist. I got the impression that they used that along with the local treatment. There are some treatments where you wouldn't even put the pins in that wrist. You just do only distal points, either on the foot or the ankle or the ears. So there's all kinds of different ways to treat. What we do is we're looking for the most efficient treatment protocol for the person who's in front of us.
So that depends on the person then.
Yes, exactly. Depends on what caused it. Depends on whether they're able to get away from the causative factor. If they're working in a factory doing repetitive motion, chances are pretty low that they're going to be able to quit their job and not do that anymore.
But somebody might be listening and wondering how the heck I was sticking needles in my ankle is going to help my carpal tunnel.
Yes, that is. It's very odd because what we're doing when we're using a distal area would be considered more meridian-style acupuncture. This means that what we're doing is looking at the meridians and the effect of particular locations along the meridians. We might also be using the idea of one limb mirroring the other or a limb mirroring the body and then going to areas that would be, for instance, if I'm wanting to treat the wrist, I might use the ankle, but I could also reverse the mirror and use the hip to treat the wrist. These are fun to use, and for lots of people, very effective. But they're also very odd because we expect to be using the local area to treat.
You sure would. Well, who would consider or who should consider using this treatment for carpal tunnel?
Well, if you haven't tried it, I think it's worth a try.
Yeah, well, I mean, what's there to lose?
Exactly. And I find that some people have already had this carpal tunnel surgery. With one person I know, the pain actually moved to a different part of the hand. The carpal tunnel itself was better, but then the thumb and the little finger, the thenar and the ulnar eminence, got to be painful. So even though they had the carpal tunnel released, they still had pain. It was just in a different place.
No. Were you able to treat that then, following?
Not as efficiently as I think I could have. But I also didn't use electricity. What we're learning with something like carpal tunnel is that electricity is very, very useful to add to that protocol.
And what does it do?
That, well, it has, as far as we know, it has a bunch of different effects, but it seems to potentize the treatments.
Hmm.
Most simply put, I think it just potentizes the treatments.
Yeah. Well, you mentioned surgery. Can acupuncture really delay surgery or heal without it?
For some people, it has delayed surgery.
So that has that's beneficial for sure.
You bet. And even if they have the surgery, we can help them prepare to make sure that their body is in good shape to get that surgery. We can help them recover from the surgery. Mm-hmm. There are some things that I found that I have not been able to help where the person does need the surgery.
No.
But I can help them get through the surgery more efficiently. I can help them recover more efficiently as well.
Let's take some calls. By the way, you can join in. I have some open lines to get you on fairly quickly here at 1-800-642-1234. 800-642-1234. Sue in Wausau has a question. Hi, Sue. Thank you for calling.
Well, hello. My question does not relate to carpal tunnel.
That's fine.
I have multiple sclerosis. How would acupuncture work for me?
All right.
Would it work for me?
Yeah. Sue, thanks. So Sue has MS, and are there any benefits for her or somebody like her using acupuncture?
The first thing that would happen when Sue went to the acupuncturist is they would take a complete history. They would find out what her main symptoms are. They would find out what her oriental energetic constitution is. And from that, they would decide on a protocol specifically for her type of MS, her particular MS, because everybody's MS is different. What they're going to do is they're going to try to help to alleviate whatever symptoms she might have that she wants to have managed, but they're also going to try to figure out what's at the root of those symptoms so that they can treat the root as well. I've treated MS throughout the years. Some people get really great results with it, and they don't need to take as much medication. Other people, I haven't made much of a difference at all for. It really depends, again, on what's causing it, how long the person's had it, whether my skills match what that person has.
Yeah. So, Sue, in Wausau, are there acupuncturists in that area that could be useful for her?
That brings me to my second question. It's a general question. How do I find a good or a reputable acupuncturist?
The first thing you're going to ask about is whether they are nationally board certified in this state, and in most states in the country, you have to take a national board exam before you can practice acupuncture. We have to be licensed as other medical professionals are licensed. We also have to take continuing education courses and ethics courses and Western medical courses to make sure that we're up on the latest of what's going on both in our field and out there in the general medical profession. The easiest thing to do is to try and have a conversation with that acupuncturist over the phone. If you get warning signals of, I don't like this person's personality, or they aren't answering my questions to my satisfaction, then you want to try the next person on the list.
Okay.
Thank you very much, and good luck, Sue.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, appreciate the call very much. Again, you can join us at 800-642-1234. And Jim in Cumberland has what relates to, I think, our last caller. Jim, hi.
Hi, good morning. My question is, I'm way up here in the northern part of the state, and your guest just referred to go to the next one on the list. How do I find the list?
Yeah, is there a registry for acupuncturists?
Right.
There is an acufinder.com that you can look at on the computer. And I know that there's some people up north. I couldn't tell you in what cities they are, and I know that the distances up there are pretty far pretty far apart. I have a friend up in the Marshfield area. And I know that there's a couple people up in Ashland area, but I'm sorry I couldn't give you the details on that. I think AccuFinder is probably going to be the most efficient. I'd also check with the AccuFinder. I believe that you can put in your zip code, and they'll tell you who the closest is.
Thank you very much. That's very helpful. Welcome.
Yeah, thanks a lot for calling, Jim. Good point. Good question. Nat in Lancaster, on to you now. Hi, Nat.
Hi. I'm 31, and I was a maintainer in the Air Force, so I use my hands a lot. And actually, about a year ago, I got bilateral carpal tunnel surgery and took care of the symptoms, the numbness, tingling. But, you know, here a year later, I've still got a little bit of weakness and stereotypical, yes, the wife asked the husband to open up jars, well, I have to ask my wife to open up jars.
Yeah.
Would this acupuncture be good to look into to help with the recovery for my surgery?
That's an interesting question, too. What about those like Nat who've had the surgery and still have some issues?
I would certainly try acupuncture for that.
Okay.
Yes, I think it's worth a try. You might find that it actually helps improve your strength or allows you to do the physical therapy, the occupational therapy that you might need to do to improve the strength. We use it for things like athletics all the time where people need to improve their function. So I think that it's worth a try, certainly.
All right.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks, Nat, for calling. And let's turn to Jerry in Galena, Illinois next. Hi, Jerry. Thank you for calling.
Yes, glad to be on your show. I have neuropathy, and my understanding of it, you can get it from diabetes, mm-hmm. you can get it from cancer radiation treatment, and the third way, or one of the other ways, is self-induced alcohol abuse, which I drink a lot. My question to you is, would this be beneficial for me, acupuncture?
For neuropathy.
Mm-hmm. For neuropathy. I have had variable results with neuropathy. I have treated neuropathy from diabetes. I have treated neuropathy from prostate surgery. I have treated neuropathy from unknown causes.
Yeah.
And I've had variable results. Most of the people get good results. I've had a couple of people who are so far, their neuropathy just didn't change much at all. Again, it's always a depends kind of a situation. It really depends on what's going on with that person, how long they've had it, what's causing it, that sort of thing. Since I'm an acupuncturist, of course, I'm going to recommend that you try it because you won't know whether it's useful for you or whether you like the way it feels unless you actually try it.
Yeah.
I did find that there was one type of neuropathy treatment that I tend to default to because that seems to be the most useful for people. And that isn't even, I'm not even putting pins in those person's foot. It's more up in the calf area.
Up in the calf area. Interesting.
Yeah. Yeah. What I do is I palpate their foot, and that's our baseline. Then I find the points on the calves that change what that palpation feels like, and we use those points. With that kind of thing, I find that when people first start doing something for neuropathy, it's more efficient if they get a couple sessions a week, and they notice the difference more sooner.
And then more quickly, yeah.
Yeah.
So there you go, Jerry. Certainly worth a try.
Yes, and I think we'll give that a shot. I appreciate your time very much.
Yeah, thanks, Jerry, for calling. Appreciate it. Visiting about acupuncture today with Colleen Lewis. She is a national board certified and state licensed acupuncturist with UW Health. Questions for her? Give a call. The number is 1-800-642-1234. You can email us at ideas@wpr.org or post on our Facebook page titled The Larry Mueller Show. I'm Larry Mueller. Jill Nadeau, our producer here on the Ideas Network. Coming up at 11:45, we'll talk with the author of a new book that looks at finding homes for shelter dogs. So I hope you'll stay with us for that. Right now, visiting with Colleen Lewis of UW Health. She's a national board certified and state licensed acupuncturist. Great to have her back to be with us. And again, join in with your own questions at 800-642-1234. Let's take a Facebook question. Sam on Facebook says he's not done acupuncture, but dry needling has helped him. And I know Jill Tyne Nissenbaum's a kind of regular guest on the show, and she is someone who does it, but maybe you could talk about what are the differences between those two?
Dry needling is done by physical therapists in this mm-hmm. country, and there is, in the acupuncture world at least, controversy about the dry needling. I've had lots of clients who've tried it, and it's about 50-50. Some people find it painful. Other people don't find it painful. Some people were helped. Other people didn't notice much of a difference. And I think it's very specific for physical therapy issues. So what they're doing is putting the needle in the muscle and then looking for that muscle to vesiculate, which means that the muscle kind of jumps a little bit. And then they are doing very, very strong stimulation. It reminds me, actually, of what I saw in China, because they're doing very strong stimulation. They want that muscle to really respond to their treatment. Some people are sore afterwards. Not everybody is. Again, it runs the gamut from really not noticing anything to it being uncomfortable for the person. And same with the results. Some people get really great results. Other people, not as much. I personally think that if it's helpful, then we should be including it in our prescriptions for people. I think that anytime somebody is exposed to what looks like acupuncture, even though it's not considered to be acupuncture, I think that we are broadening their knowledge base of what's available for them out there.
That's interesting. There are people out there who are leery of acupuncture, and maybe you could comment on why. What are some of the reasons behind that?
I think it's widely variable. There are some people who think that because it comes from a different country, it has no validity. There are some people that think that it, because there's no machines that measure things, although there are finding machines, they can use machines to measure the electroconductivity of the points. I think that for some people, it's just too weird. Other people are going to try it because it is weird. I work on campus, and there it's about 50-50. People are really interested because they've never had access to it before. Other people are very needy in terms of having pain issues that they want addressed. Stress is another common thing we address in that situation.
I talked with a veterinarian who had some allergies, essentially. She felt cured by acupuncture and wound up studying it herself to learn more about it and how it might be applied to people's pets.
That's a real common way of getting into acupuncture, is having had it done and then liking the effects. My very first treatment, I knew I needed to learn how to do it because I loved the way it felt. Animals are fun to work on because they don't have that layer of mistrust that some people might. They're not skeptics necessarily. And I've worked on lots and lots of different dogs. They're really fun to treat.
Yeah.
And they respond really well to it. Most of them respond really well to it.
I thought, allergies.
That's a fun thing to treat. In fact, I have real good results with allergies.
You do?
I have one person who has given up almost all of the allergy medications that they were on before they started treatment, and now they only come in once every 6 weeks, even during the allergy season, because their body holds the treatment so well that they don't need to come in unless they catch a cold or something like that. If they do, they come in a couple weeks in a row, and then they're back on track, and I don't see them for another month and a half.
Yeah, this particular person said her whole family, mom and dad and the brother or whatever, they all had allergies, and they all then followed her through that program of acupuncture, and were all benefited.
Oh, yes. Allergies are fun to treat. They usually have good results.
Judy in Lodi, it's your turn. Hi, Judy.
Hi, Larry and your guests. I've got spurs in my neck they've just recently found and down my spinal cord. And I was wondering, I've had acupuncture many years ago in Chicago when I lived in Illinois, and it worked for quit smoking. But the unfortunate part, I'm back to smoking again.
Nope.
These spurs are so horrible. The pain is just unbelievable. And I have a lot of medical issues going, and then to have this too is really getting to me. And I was wondering if acupuncture would benefit me.
What do you think, Colleen?
Again, I think it would be hard to know unless Judy went in and tried it. There are plenty of protocols that help with arthritic issues or bone spurs in the spine. In terms of the smoking, of course, we can always help with that again. But again, it's hard to know whether it would make a difference unless she went in and tried it. The fact that it worked well for her to quit smoking implies that she would have good results. But again, this is a different issue than what she used it for back in Chicago.
And let's repeat again how you find, you know, how Judy or anybody else finds an acupuncturist and where they live. You gave us a site to go to.
It's acufinder.com, acufinder.com. And I believe that all you have to do is put in your zip code and it will tell you people within 20 miles, 50 miles, that kind of thing.
Who are licensed and have gone through?
Who are licensed. Yes, now the good thing about AcuFinder is that it's only going to be a licensed acupuncturist. It's not going to be somebody who learned it off the Internet.
Okay. And you studied in China?
I actually spent a month in China. The school I went to was over in Racine, and then part of their program was that you could spend a month in China at a teaching hospital.
Oh, man.
I saw things there I'll never see over here.
Yeah. Yeah.
Some of the treatments we would never do over here, nor would we want to.
Yeah. Doug and Trevor, it's your turn. Hi, Doug. Thanks for calling.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I guess I'm kind of repeating a little bit what that last gal just said. I was warning about addictions, smoking specifically, but then also along the same line, you know, prescription, alcohol, overeating, but... like the smoking thing, I didn't catch it earlier. That gal just said, "What results? Is it real?"
That yeah, kind of yeah.
The nicotine addiction I can certainly address because I used acupuncture to quit smoking, and it worked wonderfully for me. It works for my husband. It works if you want to quit. What I've learned about nicotine addiction is when people come in to me and I say, "Why do you want to quit?" If they tell me, "I am so done with this. I want to be done with the cigarettes. I'm out of here." Then I know it's going to help them. If they tell me my spouse wants me to quit or my doctor says I have to quit or this sort of thing, but they aren't really on board for quitting, it's not as useful.
Oh, all right.
That's what I found about nicotine. Now, other things, for instance, I've helped two people who were withdrawing from heroin. They weren't overdosing, but they were withdrawing from heroin. In both cases, the acupuncture was very, very useful. There's a very powerful protocol that's put out by the National Acupuncture Detox Association, and it's a 5-point protocol in the ear. It's the protocol that's used by the acupuncturist without borders when they go to disaster areas. And this particular protocol really calms down the vagus nerve so that the body has a chance to recover and heal. The thing about addictions is that if you can, you want to get that treatment every day.
Oh.
So, it's more efficient if you are getting the treatment every day. Out in places like Maryland, the judges court order this protocol for people who are heroin addicts and in the methadone clinics. And the judges will walk through the methadone clinics and talk to the people that are taking treatment to see how they're doing, what they think about the treatment. I actually got to talk to somebody who works in one of those clinics, and she was telling me about that. Here, not so much.
Well, you know, I'm wondering about insurance. Somebody asked, somebody said, well, you're at UW, I've got Unity Insurance. Would my Unity Insurance cover me for treatments?
Unity and Dean will give you $100 back once a year to try something like this. They fold it into a program that they offer, including healing touch, massage, I believe a CSA is also in there, and joining a fitness club. So once a year, if you're in one of those two insurance groups, you have the option of trying something like acupuncture, but it's only a one-time shot.
One-time shot.
Yes. I do run into people who have acupuncture that will cover 20 a year. I've had people who have covered it indefinitely, no questions asked. It's widely variable. You have to check with your insurance company to find out whether they cover it or not.
Yeah. And is there a range of charges so people kind of know if they don't have that kind of insurance?
There is. There's actually so-called community acupuncturists that have a sliding scale fee. My fee on campus is very different than it is out in the public. My fees in Spring Green are less expensive than in Madison. It kind of depends on where you are.
Okay.
It very much depends on where you are.
Kathy in Madison up next with a question. Hi, Kathy.
Oh, hi there. I've seen Colleen for, boy, about 5 years now, off and on. And I can't tell you how many times she's saved me from going to the emergency room. It's helped me cut down on some of my pain meds. It's just amazing. There's all this, you know, hullabaloo about people being on narcotics or pain and, you know, neuropathies or whatever they suffer with, but they never really kind of push, you know, the alternative methods. And that just surprises me. It's like, well, just get off them, but we're not going to pay for anything, you know, else to help you do that. And, I mean, luckily we can, my husband and I can afford it, but it just amazes me. And I, you know, I just don't know what to think of it all.
Huh.
I have to say, she's really made my life a lot better.
Oh.
And that quality of life is so important.
Yeah. Well, I can hear your almost pain, but in that comment, thank you so much for that call. Colleen, a comment from you?
Thank you, Kathy, for making that call. It's once we find what works for a person, it tends to continue to work for that person. When people first come in, they'll say to me, "How many treatments do I need?" And again, that's widely variable. In my personal practice, what I tell people is consider doing 4 weeks in a row, and then we reevaluate. Now, we reevaluate every time that person comes in because I'm going to ask what changed, what stayed the same, what improved, what got worse, because we're trying to pinpoint what works for that person in that moment, of course, because it might change next week. But we are trying to make sure that our treatment supports that person's journey, makes them be in less pain or less distress or less grieving, whatever that is for that person. We're addressing that in the moment, but we're also looking at what constitutionally long-term is going on with this person to make them susceptible to those bone spurs or that asthma or that digestive issue, whatever that might be.
Yeah.
So even though we're trying to treat what's in front of us, we're also looking down the road at what can we do to prevent this from happening again.
Yeah. And Kathy, thank you again for calling. I know you were wondering, Kathy was also wondering why they don't have acupuncture in the ERs.
There is. I was reading an article from a gentleman talking about doing acupuncture in the ER. I can't remember if it was Mount Sinai or Johns Hopkins. And they were having, of course, these wonderful results because they were finding they didn't have to use as much pain medication if the acupuncturist got to that person first and triaged and got their pain levels down. Then the doctor could come in and actually see what was going on without having to take that step of getting the pain levels down.
No, very interesting.
Yeah, pretty fascinating. I'm always questioning why an acupuncturist and massage therapist are not on staff at pain clinics, but they aren't.
Thanks again, Kathy. Marcia in Clintonville, turning to you next. Hi, thank you for calling, Marcia. Oh, I bet we lost her.
Nope, I'm here.
Oh, okay.
Oh, there we are.
Go ahead, Marcia.
Hi. I have two questions. I'm wondering if acupuncture can help with celiac disease, and the other one is kidney stones.
All right.
What was the first one, Marcia?
Celiac disease
and kidney stones.
Yeah.
Okay. We can help with the pain of kidney stones, and I have done that often. Usually, though, that person's going to have to either pass the stones in some way. I've had some people who've had to, even though I'm helping them with the pain, they still had to go in and have the ultrasound break up the stones. We can also, though, try to help you figure out what's causing them so that you don't keep getting them. I've had kidney stones twice, once on each side, and they're really awful. I wish I would have had acupuncture back then when I had the kidney stones.
And in terms of
the celiac, we, again, can help with the pain from celiac. That can be a very painful condition, and it can be a condition where people cannot get nourishment. So there are many things that we can do to help that person actually be able to digest food better and be in less pain.
There we go. Thanks again for calling, Marcia. Appreciate it. Linda on Facebook wonders if acupuncture can help with phantom limb or leg pain.
That's actually something that's really interesting to treat, and we do have good results with that kind of thing. Some people would treat the scalp for that. Some people would treat the opposite limb for that. I've seen both things work.
Excellent. Don in New Richmond, your turn. Hi, Don.
Howdy.
What's on your mind?
I had a distal carpectomy to relieve the pain from severe osteoarthritis. That's where the cartilage is being slowly eaten away by my own immune system. Had bone on bone and a lot of pain in my right wrist. The VA took three of the bones out. And now that I've gone through the therapy, I still have one finger, the finger to my little finger, the third digit on my right hand. The tendon in the palm of my hand, it looks like it's got a little scrunchy place in it, and it won't let me open my hand all the way.
Mm-hmm.
Would that be something that can be relieved? Would the acupuncture relieve the stress on that tendon?
I have worked on something called Dupuytren's, which is which sounds like something your hand is trying to do. It's where the tendons shorten up and the digit gets pulled in, and then there's tendons. You can see the tendons really strongly. And I've had mixed results with it. I had one person who had really good results. I had another person who didn't notice much of a change. And I had a third person who was kind of in between there. So, again, it's going to depend on who you have treated, how long you've had it, that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
It's certainly worth a try, because if that's painful, if that tendon pulling is painful, they can help at least release the pain, even if they're not able to help stretch that tendon out.
Well, it's only painful when I try to open my hand completely.
Mm-hmm.
I can't put my whole hand flat down on a table anymore.
Yeah. And it gets
painful.
It cups
up a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. What I do with that kind of thing is I would have you, if you were in my office, I would treat it locally. I would treat the distal points, so I might treat some points on the foot. But I would also then send some therapy home with you. I might tape seeds in your ears. I might put magnets on the hand. I might put magnets on the foot. Again, I would be figuring out what's the most efficient to treat this person, and then I would be sending home some care with you so that the treatment lasts a little bit longer.
Yeah, there we go. Don, thank you. Rob in La Crosse, on to you now. Hi, Rob.
Hi, thank you so much. I've been battling Lyme's disease since July of 2013, and we're pretty sure we found it pretty late, so it's did quite a number on my nervous system and whatnot. And I was just wondering if you have a lot of Lyme's patients or what you can do for that. Like, I've always been a pretty shy person, especially after the Lyme's.
Mm-hmm.
If I get really nervous about something or really worked up, I am just so weak and just worthless because my nerves just, I get so shaky and weak and just worthless.
Mm. What about that, Colleen? It seems like a couple different things going on there.
Yes, Lyme disease is a complex thing to treat, and I have had, again, variable results. The longer the person's had it, the longer it's gone undiagnosed, it can get extreme. I was treating somebody who was in a wheelchair from Lyme's disease because they couldn't figure out what was going on. Sometimes when I'm treating somebody, I start to suspect that they might have a parasite like Lyme's disease because they aren't responding the way a person normally would if they didn't have something else in their system, something else that was clouding our view or preventing the treatment from working. I've discovered that I personally have to be very careful with people who have Lyme's disease because I have overtreated people, and then they feel tired and weak for a day or so. After that, they feel great, but I don't want them to go home and feel weaker for a day, so I try to be pretty careful that they don't have that rebound effect, I guess you'd call it. But with Lyme's disease, you want to try and find somebody who knows how to treat Lyme's or who's worked with the similar similar conditions to Lyme's. I think that we're going to run into that more and more and more, and I think there's going to be other tick-borne diseases that we're going to be dealing with really, really soon.
So somebody like Rob would go to that website, AccuFinder.com, put in a zip code, and then get a name or two or three maybe.
Right.
And then
call them up.
Call them.
Tell them what your symptoms are. Say, this is what's been going on. This is what the Western medicine has done and how it's helped or not. And then let them tell you what they would do for that and how they would treat that and whether they think they could help or not. Because most of us, I'm going to be honest with somebody. If I don't think I can help them, I'm going to tell them that because I don't want them to spend their time and money and be disappointed.
Yeah, there we go. Rob, good luck. Thank you so much for calling. And Barb and Rippon, your turn. Hi, Barb.
My question is, I was wondering if there is an acupuncture application to help with weight loss.
Oh, yes. There's many people who work with weight loss. Any acupuncturist could help you with that.
Interesting.
Super.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So what does it do? Kind of take away your desire to eat more food, or?
It helps with metabolism. There is an actual carbohydrate metabolism point on the body that some people tell me will help them not crave chocolate, which is a big one. There also is, we would put seeds in the ears. We would tape seeds in the ears. There's other protocols that we would apply depending on why that person is craving the food.
Hmm.
If it's from stress, it might be emotional eating. There may be a feeling of emptiness. Again, we're going to try and figure out what's going on with the root of this person so that we can be efficient in addressing that for them.
And Sheila wondered via email if GERD or acid reflux can be she has a 20-year-old son that's been on proton pump inhibitors for over 10 years with limited effectiveness.
Wow. I've not treated somebody with that extremity of acid reflux, but I generally have really good results with that. I suspect that most acupuncturists would have good results with acid reflux. Somebody who's had it that long and been on medication that long will take longer than somebody who's just been diagnosed with it or who hasn't been on medication.
Wow. Well, that's, we've talked about a whole variety. What can you expect when you visit an acupuncturist? What happens?
They're going to have you do an intake form. They're probably going to want to feel your pulses on both wrists. They may take a look at your tongue. Not all acupuncturists do those things, but most people are going to look at the wrist or look at the tongue and want to take your pulses. Taking the pulses tells us what's going on with the internal organs, which gives us clues as to what might be at the root of this person's condition. Then you're going to expect to have the needles in for at least 20 minutes. Some people get longer depending on the style of treatment. The person might be with you the whole time. They might put the pins in and then leave the room and come back and check on you a couple of times. They may manipulate the pins in every time they come in. They may not. They may put electricity to some of the pins, as in the study with the carpal tunnel syndrome.
Yep.
I always expect people to feel better afterwards, but not everybody does. Some people, it takes a day before they feel really good. I have one person, it takes 2 days before she feels good. I have another person who tells me she's going to hate me for the rest of the day, and then the next day she's going to love me. Again, it's widely wide variety of responses, wide variety of people getting better. I don't always have success. I'm not always...
Yeah?
Not always have positive results.
Well,
but I always expect them.
Well, medical doctors don't always get the best results either, so you're not really...
That's right. Well, and of course, unfortunately, I'm seeing the surgeries that did not have good results. I'm seeing the people who didn't have good results with Western medicine, so sometimes my view becomes a little biased about Western medicine, and then I talk with my friends who had great luck with surgeries. So, again, I think that for every person, it's a constellation of care that's going to take care of whatever that person has going on. And it may not be that acupuncture...
Oh! We suddenly lost Colleen. Well, we were winding up the show anyway. And Colleen, if you can hear me, thank you so much for being with us today. Again, if you want to find an acupuncturist, go to AccuFinder.com, ACUFinder.com. Colleen Lewis, acupuncturist with UW Health. Coming up, we're going to switch gears and talk with you about one person's quest to find homes for shelter dogs. Amy Sutherland's got a new book out called Rescuing Penny Jane. That next here on the Ideas Network.